Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Would you please be seated? Imagine for a moment a people recovering from a cataclysmic disaster. Something had happened. It had destroyed their entire way of life. For generations, they dreamed of regaining the glories of their past. They aspired to more than subsistence. They pledged security to themselves and to their children. They anticipated a time when the scattered remnants of their civilization would finally come together, when differences would be overcome, when cooperation at last built something of which they could be proud. And of course, the level of human unity we hear expressed in Genesis chapter 11 this morning is astounding to human ears, modern ears. Humanity had an idea. They organized their labor. They made it happen. I mean, when was the last time that we were able to manage a large-scale infrastructure project without major time delays and cost overruns? Well, in this story, this group of people, they came together. And they built it, and God destroyed it. It was the Tower of Babel. You see, God unites humanity for his purposes. And the question that we're asking this morning is, so what does genuine unity then really look like? Well, if I went around town and asked folks what genuine unity looked like, I suspect they would describe something like this Tower of Babel story. Genuine human unity. Genuine unity means human beings getting on the same page, using the same words, and organizing to get important work done. But let's look a little bit more closely. A few centuries, over 2,000 years before Jesus was born, the Sumerians in southern Mesopotamia insisted on a project of urbanization. They built and then bragged about their cities. The cities shunned inhabitants, though. They patronized, for the most part, religious buildings and storage facilities, the public sector of the day. In the center of these cities, the ziggurats dominated the skyline. Now, you've seen these before, like pyramids, but instead of smooth sides going to a tip, giant steps lead up the sides to the top. They were structures designed to provide stairways from the heavens, the gate of the gods to earth, so that the gods could come down into their temple and into the town and bring blessing. So getting on the same page is great, working together is great, but what were they working for? They were working for a way to, as the text says, make a name for themselves. They decided God was like them. So they decided to make it, I don't know, convenient for God to come down from heaven to bless them. They decided to create a new Garden of Eden for themselves, where God might walk among them. But what's the problem? Well, God didn't ask them to do that. The Almighty Creator of heaven and earth didn't need a staircase. After the flood, he still desired that humanity would fill the earth and subdue it. Remember now that God created the world formless and void, and from this roiling chaos, he drew the order of creation. The top of that order, the final day of the week, was humanity. And humanity, God's stewards, were meant to extend the garden of God's peace to cover the whole world. We disobeyed and were cast out of the garden. Humanity's disobedience eventually leads to God starting over with Noah's family. And now we come to this, a bunch of people building a city not only to treat God like a human being, but also to ignore what God had asked them to do. As a result, we know from history that these religious complexes were one of the first places where things like debt, strutted into human existence. And from that start began a cycle of indebtedness, slavery, empire, revolution, and violence that still demeans humanity today. So here we have an image of humanity uniting, but for the wrong purposes. Human unity for the sake of idolatry and violence is no genuine unity at all. But looking back, if I'm being charitable, I have a hard time saying that I would blame them. There is strength in numbers, after all. I enjoy living in a city. The development of cities both arose from and anticipated the development of new technology that eased the burden of human life. We long for stability. So why fulfill God's purposes out there in a scary world when we can stay put and be safe right here? Because that's not what we were made for. The scriptures point to a genuine human unity, but it doesn't come from getting on the same page, having pure ideologies, or cooperating on shared projects. So what does, from a Christian perspective, from the lens of the Bible, what does genuine human unity look like? And how can we at Holy Spirit live it? Well, first on this Pentecost Sunday, I think we need to look to the Spirit. Today we remember the Holy Spirit descending on quaking disciples in the upper room. They spoke in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability, and when they went out to share the good news of Jesus that day, they spoke in their own language. But the crowd, each person, heard them in the language of their heart. I mean, wouldn't that be neat if I could just speak English and everyone here could hear it in their own dialect? When God destroyed Babel, he confused the languages. When God restored humanity in Christ, he did not erase those languages. He did not make everyone the same or remove all confusion, for even when the apostles spoke in a way that was completely understandable to everyone, many still did not understand. Being able to share the same words in the same language is no guarantee of understanding. How then do we recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Our catechism, those 13 or 15 pages at the back of our prayer book, says this. We recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and are brought into love and harmony with God, with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all creation. So first, we look to the Holy Spirit. Second, following this definition from the Catechism, we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Remember, on that Pentecost Sunday, the apostles proclaimed that even though the people killed Jesus, God raised him from the dead to make him king of all the earth. Some say that the three-word sentence, Jesus is Lord, is the earliest Christian creed. In the Episcopal Church, we use two creeds in worship, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. Today we'll be using the Apostles' Creed as we renew our baptismal covenant. These are the sufficient statements of Christian faith that unite us. Now, unlike our Roman Catholic siblings, we don't define everything down to the number of angels that can dance on the head of a pin. Instead, we believe that holy baptism unites us into one body in Christ. We are siblings, no matter whether we speak the same language or not, hold the same citizenship or not, vote for the same party or not. Genuine human unity finds its focus in Jesus, and on no other basis, because Jesus is the true human being, King of kings, Lord of lords, resurrected and ascended to the Father's right hand. Which leads to the final way that we pursue genuine human unity, by harmonizing with each other. By the Spirit, we are brought into love and harmony with God, with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all creation. When people sing in harmony, do they all sing the same note? No, they sing different notes. Sometimes pleasant, sometimes dissonant, but all part of a larger whole that moves towards something beautiful. Genuine human unity is unity in diversity and diversity in unity. It is harmony. It is a song that we sing. At Holy Spirit, this is our second year of pursuing that harmony together in a new way. We start by interviewing every single person in our parish. We want to hear from every single person what God is speaking through their lives. Then together, we find the harmony we're singing to plan for next year's ministry. This year, our theme is passing the baton, thriving in church community and creation. So after the service, we've been announcing this for a few weeks, but if you haven't heard, that's fine. After the service, there are cookies and coffee. Hang out and be interviewed. Whether this is your first Sunday or your 500th, we want to hear from you. Now, pursuing this genuine human unity is one of the ways that we at Holy Spirit are becoming the good news of Jesus Christ. When we look for the Spirit's work, confess Jesus as Lord, and harmonize with each other, we share that good news in a world that is isolated, lonely, and afraid. We get to taste the Spirit's reconciling work among us. We get to witness the New Jerusalem. We get to be led together into truth by that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. God unites humanity for His purposes. So stay after church today so that we can find those purposes together. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.